Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. In 2004, there was an award-winning documentary that really stirred the pot in America regarding fast food consumption in American society. The subject of the documentary and the producer was a man by the name of Morgan Spurlock, and he became interested in the question of fast food and human health. So he conducted something that was a bit of a stunt. For 1 month, he decided he will only eat food from one of the largest and most prominent fast food chains, and he will eat nothing else. Before the stunt, before the experiment, he comes under the care of three different kinds of doctors, all of whom have sort of a different angle. There was a gastroenterologist, internal medicine, a primary care person, and he explains to them what he is about to do, and none of them are really very concerned. They think, well, you're probably going to gain a little bit of weight. So the experiment begins with a lot of excitement. After all, there is a science to making fast food taste good, and it can taste great. And Spurlock is in heaven because he has an excuse to splurge and never hold back for a whole month. But several days in, things start to change. He begins to have mood swings. He does begin gaining weight, a lot of weight. He gains 9 pounds in 5 days. He becomes addicted to the food and experiences lethargy and depression. In 12 days, he gains 17 pounds. On day 21, he begins having heart palpitations, which was completely unexpected, and he had never experienced those before. And his doctors are now paying careful attention. Some of them try to convince him to stop. He makes it to the end of the month, but by then he has gained 24 pounds, feels terrible, and he has a fatty liver, which is very bad for health. His health is essentially wrecked, and it only took 30 days. Now, I'm sure this documentary has had its detractors and criticisms, but nonetheless, it was sort of a leading example of what can happen when certain kinds of foods are the only foods eaten, and there are no fruits or vegetables, or very few fruits and vegetables, and instead we're eating processed food. Now, if you read food labels, not just from fast food, but also from the grocery store, you'll notice that many ingredients are simply not pronounceable by average human beings like me. And then there are basket terms on these labels like artificial flavors or natural flavors. Years ago, I bumped into somebody who worked in the food industry, and she was kind of shaking her head about her day. And I said, well, what happened? She said, well, a pretty healthy brand came in, and they had a product with natural flavors. And our job is to advise them and to catalog what they're doing. She said, I took a look at what natural flavors were, and she said, I couldn't pronounce any of them. They were all chemicals, and that is something that is allowed under FDA labeling, that they're an older generation of synthetic chemicals. So this is not just true of fast food. Read any label in your cabinet to see what you think and what you notice. What about organic food? Well, organic food can be healthy. It's supposed to be healthy, right? But if we're simply substituting high fructose corn syrup for organic cane sugar, maybe we made a degree of progress, but when I eat anything that's sweetened with organic cane sugar, I want a lot more of it. So I can have cravings because of that. They're organic cravings, but they're cravings, and I can still gain calories and put on weight. They're organic pounds, but they're still pounds. Not always predictable, is it, what is going to happen when we put something in our body? But we can notice it. We can pay attention to what goes in our body and how we feel after we consume different kinds of foods. Well, Jesus has a similar saying about what we take into our minds and our hearts in Matthew chapter 6. Here's what he says about that. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great the darkness! What Jesus is saying is, in the same way that a mouth is a gateway to the stomach and the digestive system, the eye is the lamp of the body. It determines what gets in and what doesn't. Scholar Donald Hagner reminds us that some ancient thinkers seem to have thought of the eye as a place of fire or light. They didn't really understand how vision worked. But the healthy eye was the one who trained that light on what was good and best out there. The unhealthy eye was the one that was greedy and coveting, sort of the evil eye of the ancient Middle East culture. One path illuminates the mind and the soul, the other deprives it of life. There was a very brilliant church father in the ancient church named John Chrysostom, quite a preacher and a theologian. He believed that as the eye is to the body, so the mind is to the soul. So the eye is the gateway to the body and what we see. He said the mind is sort of the gateway to the soul. The thoughts we entertain can affect us in very deep ways. Well, there seem to be a couple points here. Again, first has to do with what we take in. I've already talked about the options in terms of the body, but what about the mind and the soul? I was thinking about this, and I remembered something this week. On both sides of our extended family, and I say ours, meaning Julie's extended family and mine, we have relatives with a television obsession. This isn't sports. This isn't a soap opera. This isn't a drama with cliffhanger endings every week. I am talking about obsession with the Hallmark Channel. The Hallmark Channel is known for its lovable, happy ending movies. Low intensity, not too stressful, very high sentimental value stories. We have relatives who have exhausted all the content on the Hallmark Channel. In other words, they have seen all the movies and series, and they wait with anticipation for new content to appear. There is obviously something very appealing about these movies. And it's true that many, if not most of these movies, follow a pretty similar template. Oftentimes, two people who have lost track of each other over the years, over the decades, meet in a small New England town or meet again. They find love and they live happily ever after. This is common enough as a plot on the Hallmark Channel that more than one parodies of this exist online. And if you're watching us on YouTube this morning, we have to say goodbye for a moment. You'll see a green screen, and we will be back for a moment. You won't hear audio, but we will be back. And our techs are going to try to pull this up. There's a little bit of tech wizardry in this, but we're going to go ahead, and they're going to be looking for the little teeny cursor. They're close, and they're going to play this from the Holderness family. Just about 2 minutes, a little under 2 minutes. So the makers of that video share that they came across this idea to parody the Hallmark Channel when their five-year-old was watching the channel nonstop a couple weeks before Christmas and noticed several similarities in the movies, including many of the same buildings that appeared in different movies in supposedly different towns. Now, it may sound like I'm really poking fun here, but I actually want to come out in strong favor of Hallmark Channel movies. There is nothing wrong with happy endings. And feel-good movies means it feels pretty good to watch, and I think that's why they're popular and not stressful. It's okay to watch television and actually smile. I tend to watch a variety of things, including movies and series that are kind of gritty and artsy and have lots of tension, and spy movies, intrigue, and mystery, and these delve a little deeper into the human condition and goodness versus evil. Now, that said, you may have noticed this if you watch these shows too. Modern shows can be pretty intense these days. I've learned over the years that there are certain parts of these shows that I don't want to see. And if I know something gory or graphic is coming up, I will tell you this is the level of my wimpiness. I turn the subtitles on, and if I know that something's coming on the screen, I do one of these, and I just follow along at the bottom. Now, that may seem a little wimpy, but actually, it's a decision, it's a conscious decision that I've made that I can handle those scenes, but actually don't want to. I don't want terrifying images or violent, gory images going into my mind. So I stop them before I can see them. I choose to do that. By contrast, a Hallmark show seems like it's a little less stressful experience. I'm making a larger point here, and it applies not just to TV or movies or food or film. It applies to everything, music, art, social media, TikTok, memes, ideas. What are you taking in? And what does it do to your mind and soul? Does it bring you up or does it bring you down? I was thinking a while ago, I had a brief health consultation with someone who just got a diagnosis of aggressive cancer, and they wanted to know what role Chinese medicine can play in their treatment. And that C word, cancer, is a word we all hate, and we all have seen, and many of us experienced, the pain that it can cause. One of the very difficult and painful dynamics of cancer is that it consumes a person from the inside. That's what tumors do as they grow. And I was thinking this week, What about cancers of the mind or the soul? The tumors that are consuming us, attitudes, ideas, content that we take in through our eyes and ears that incite anger or fear, anxiety, self-loathing, and discouragement. These are all like mental and spiritual tumors that are self-consuming. And are we even aware when it's happening? These can be very powerful feelings that consume us. Conversely, we have the opportunity to take in that which is encouraging. A while back, we spent some time on Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where Paul tells us, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things." See how this syncs up with Jesus' teaching? We take in what is good. We experience the good. Jesus says, "You will be full of light." Paul says, "Think about these things." We may ask, well, it's pretty crazy out there sometimes. Some weeks, it's kind of nuts out there. You open the news webpage, and there's this bad news and this bad news. Where is the good to take in? What do we do? Well, of course, we can go to the scriptures every day. My wonderful wife, when we're having coffee in the morning, she is there doing her morning devotional, starting her day with the scriptures. There are lots of ways we can take in the good. We can also become observers of the good and observers of possibilities of good in life. An adaptation of a story from NPR tells the story of Lee Horton, who was imprisoned with his brother for years for a crime they didn't commit. They were sort of on the periphery of it. They were poor young men, and they got swept into this larger net of crime, and they ended up being sentenced to 25 years, even though they didn't really directly commit a crime. In 2021, Lee and his brother were finally released, and Lee talked to NPR about what it was like to be free. He said, "I was in awe of everything around me. It's like my mind was just heightened to every small nuance, just to be able to look out of a window, just to walk down a street and inhale the fresh air, just to see people interacting. It woke something up in me, something that I don't know if it died or if it went to sleep, I don't know, but I've been having epiphanies every day since I've been released. One of my morning rituals," he says, "is I send a message of good morning, good morning, good morning, have a nice day to every one of my 42 contacts." And they're like, "How long can he keep sending us these texts?" They don't understand that I was deprived, and now that I've been released, I've been reborn into a better day, into a new day. The person I was no longer exists. I've stepped through the looking glass onto the other side, and everything is beautiful. It's a matter of perspective, isn't it? Everything is beautiful when you are free. And the truth of knowing Jesus Christ through faith is that by grace, we are free. We are free. And our teacher Lee reminds us that when we are free, everything is beautiful. We can look out and enjoy the freedom that we have and take it and let the beauty of it, and we can see what God is doing all around us, particularly as the spring, as we near spring, we're not there yet. We'll see nature change and the beauty of growth and the beauty of what God does in our world every year at the time that we're coming up on. We can observe it. We can notice it. We can look into the sky at night. We can see the beauty that is there. And if we notice beauty, it will fill our hearts and our minds. Our hearts and minds will be filled with that which is beautiful. It's really simple. You may be aware of a food that just disagrees with you. You got one of those, you're like, "I don't want to eat that. I cannot even take a bite of cottage cheese. I can almost eat anything, but no thank you. Can't even take the bite." My wife is that way about certain foods as well. You may be aware there's just something you just cannot eat. What about ideas? Are there some of those that you're like, "Can't do it"? Then stay away from it. Avoidance is of ideas that don't agree with you is an okay strategy. What about music and movies and TV? Wouldn't it be interesting to stop and ask after we've consumed something, "Do I feel better because I watched that? Do I feel better because I listened to that talk show or watched that cable news show? Do I feel better? Did it fill me with positivity and joy? Or did it drag me down? Do I feel more anxious? Maybe because of that, indirectly, a little further away from God." This week, Jesus' call to us is to let our eyes, our hearts, and minds be filled with that which brings the love and light of God into our lives and scares away and chases away the darkness. Let's pray. Almighty God, It's oftentimes the case that nobody teaches us how to filter. Filter what we take into our bodies, what we take into our minds, what we take into our hearts, what we consume with our eyes and our ears. We may not even be aware, because everybody in air quotes is doing it, that we feel worse because of certain experiences that we have, of things that we consume. Dear God, by the light of our conscience, imbued by the Holy Spirit, help us to notice. Tap us on the shoulder, say, I don't think this is good for you, but I've got a lot that's great for you. Help us, dear God, to notice where you are at work in the world. Fill our hearts with songs that praise you. Read words that declare your glory. Practice noticing your beauty and your love out there in society. Help us to look for it and see it, dear God. It's there all around us. Fill our hearts and our minds with your light and love this week. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.